Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study that found that nearly half of collegiate athletes reported a recognized, unreported, or unrecognized concussion injury. The unreported rate is lower than previous reports. However, the potentially unrecognized concussion rate was very high. There are many reasons why an athlete may not report his or her concussion. However, many athletes may not report their concussion because they simply do not recognize that they had sustained a concussion. Therefore, the purpose of this study was to investigate the current reported, unreported, and potentially unrecognized concussion rates among collegiate student athletes who had completed their collegiate athletic career. 161 athletes that finished their collegiate athletic career from 10 NCAA institutions from an array of sports completed a novel 21-item questionnaire during their 2011 to 2012 academic year. The athletes answered questions about their reported concussions, acknowledged unreported concussion, reasons for not reporting, and potentially unrecognized concussions. Athletes from 15 different sports were included in this study. Most of the athletes in the study played women's soccer, football, men's soccer, and track and field or cross country. Overall, 50% of the athletes noted that they had at least one potential concussion, whether it be reported, unreported, or unrecognized. 34% of the athletes indicated in the questionnaire that they had a history of concussion. The sports with the most self-reported history of a concussion included women's soccer, men's soccer, and men's football. Of the 54 athletes that reported a concussion history, most stated that they sustained one concussion, and 22% reported a history of three or more concussions. Nearly 12% of the athletes recognized they sustained a concussion, but did not report it. The sports with the most unreported concussions were women's soccer, men's football, field hockey, and cheerleading. Over a quarter of the athletes did not recognize a potential concussion injury. The sports with the highest potentially unrecognized concussions were football, cheerleading, and cross country. The most unrecognized concussion symptoms were seeing stars, knocked out, and memory loss. Nearly half of the athletes received a concussion during their collegiate career, and 22% reported three or more concussions. Though the unreported concussion rate is lower than previous studies, it represents a persistent minority who may not appreciate the seriousness of a concussion injury and the possible deficits later in life if a proper rest and treatment regimen is not implemented. Of most concern is the alarming 26% of the athletes that did not recognize a potential concussion injury. It's also interesting to note that the sports with the most unreported concussions were women's soccer. Previous research suggested that females report more concussion injuries than their male counterparts in the similar sport, which may be attributed to women being more honest. This is not the case in this study. Additionally, football has been the target of much of the concussion research. However, football has one of the highest rates of unreported concussions and potentially unrecognized concussions. Another noteworthy point is that concussions can occur in any sport, and everyone needs concussion education. Sports like cheerleading and cross country may not receive proper concussion education, which may be the reason they had high rates of reporting potentially unrecognized concussions. This study highlights that we may need to improve our current education strategies to raise awareness about signs and symptoms, as well as the importance of promptly reporting symptoms. This past week, we also had one other post on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. That post described a clinical trial that found that long-term bracing reduced the incidence of recurrent ankle sprains in comparison with 12 weeks of neuromuscular training following an ankle sprain. A combination of bracing and neuromuscular training also had a mild reduction in comparison with neuromuscular training alone. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a blog post and two sets of articles that discussed MRI changes that occur after a concussion. We also shared an evidence-based practice paper from the Journal of Athletic Training that asked if athletes should return to activity after cryotherapy. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.